literally started out as a lost bet.
When I was about 8 years old, we moved to the Gold Coast.
We woke up to a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning.
We felt it was a bit conventional for us.
Whoa, what's going on? Am I going to make this?
Once upon a time.
You know, a local GP is popular with patients when her practice has to write a letter on their website explaining why she's taken a break. Hence the webpage last April, Where is Dr. Sonu Haikerwal? If it's a familiar name to you, it's because Sonu has been a well-known medical commentator here on the Gold Coast for some time, often here on ABC Radio and commercial television networks across the country. She was a vocal general practitioner during the worst days of the pandemic. And indeed, it was a slavish dedication to her respiratory clinic at Upper Coomera that partly led to her needing a long break. Now, a year on, Dr. Sonu Haikerwal says she's exactly where she needs to be. And luckily for us, it's back on the Gold Coast. Hello to you, Sonu. It's so nice to have you in the studio.
Bern, it's such a pleasure. And I had to return home. You know, sometimes you have to go away to find yourself and to define what home is. Where is your throne, so to speak? So very much I'm back where I belong and with a view to change the world.
just a little idea of changing the world. How hard, take me back a year ago, how hard was it to step away from your patients, from your career in many ways, and prioritise you?
My biggest lesson in that year was that I have to give from a full cup. I have to be first in my queue. You know, I have to hold that little Sonu's hand and commit to her that I'll take care of her. And nothing else matters beyond that. So if I want a long queue in my life, I want to nurture a lot of people, I want to have an impact on the world, I can't do that unless I take care of myself. So I think the fundamental thing that's changed about me is I am unapologetic about putting myself first. And this is the starting point. Then you start making the right choices with everything, your boundaries. You know, one of the great friends I made, she told me, oh, no is a complete sentence. So I use that, you know, I don't justify myself. So I've lost 24 kilos. I really needed to. I feel like I've saved my life. COVID was difficult. And, you know, like you said, we lose ourselves. We think we have to be martyrs. We have to, you know, just give. And women especially, we're very good at that.
We spoke to you a lot during the pandemic, Sonu. And indeed, I was a patient at one stage for you. You wouldn't know it because I'm just one of hundreds that you would see, if not within hours, then certainly a day. What was the number? What was it in the end that you would see at that respiratory clinic?
Omicron wave, I counted that I saw 7,000 COVID patients. There were one day we serviced 300 patients and I was triaging people in the queue. I was in a PPE for 14 hours and yeah.
That must have been. Oh, now that you can step back from it, how do you view that as in terms of how hard that was for you as a person and a doctor?
It was incredibly hard, but I think it's a privilege. It was a privilege. I was very proud that I was given the opportunity by the Department of Health to run a clinic on their behalf. I was proud that I was doing my bit. You know, if I'm a soldier and there's war, I was in the front line. So I will look back at that time as an incredible privilege. And
but as did it come at a personal cost, do you think? Like, did it?
Absolutely. I think it's unfair to even think that if you work hard on something, something else will not give way. You know, you can't have it all. So absolutely. But it's always a journey. Now I look at that personal cost as also my gift, because that got me to where I'm now. And I don't think I would have ever thought of leaving for 6 months and doing this incredible journey. So I think we can always retrospect retrospectively justify our pain. But yes, I always say to my patients, pain is also inevitable. And if we can embrace pain, then we see what is it teaching us.
You're obviously not in any way stepping away from core medicine, which is, you know, diagnosis, testing, management of disease, etc. But you really want to bring together that kind of medicine with emotional medicine and lifestyle medicine. Changing the world is how you started this conversation.
Absolutely.
Can the world handle this change, Sonu, and what will it take?
Not only will the world handle this change, it will embrace this change. My community will embrace this change, and Gold Coast will be one of the healthiest towns in the country and in the world. But look, I've done it myself. I live this life script model that I call it. I have been practicing this for years, and now having got the evidence behind it, having literally traveled the world, I know what I'm talking about is evidence-based, is science-backed, and I think that it is time. We talk about the whole person. That's what the patients need. That's what we need to do as clinicians to actually get them from point A to point B and not just tick and flick a box, give them a script. Medicine and healing is so much more than a pill. And when you combine these three tiers, when you look at your emotional health as the starting point, you know, like I said, if I put myself first, then I make better food choices, then I exercise, then I take my prescription, I do what my doctor tells me to do, and I'm just better.
It's not something you can just swallow a pill and make happen. It's also something that I would imagine within the medical fraternity, there could be doubters around how do you deliver this in the cut and thrust of modern medicine. What do you say if indeed there are doubters?
Well, there'll always be doubters, you know. Nothing new is embraced in it in totality. I mean, the doubters, in fact, validate that you're trying to shift the paradigm from where it is. And certainly how we practice is not working. Chronic disease is on the rise. Cancer is on the rise. Mental health is on the rise. We can't build enough hospitals to cater for this. And we have to step back and look at why we are where we are. And I call it the abundance paradox. We can eat any food in the world. You know, we're a very abundant community. But why are we so deprived? You know, I see young people with no motivation, no purpose, social anxiety. So it's almost like they're a Rolls Royce where the engine is not working. And it's very sad. And how do you put that soul back in, you know? And it's so important. So doubters will always be there. They just prove that you are onto something.
If you were to give me an insight into your community of the Northern Gold Coast, because you see everyone, you know, you see every walk of life comes into a general practitioner's office. How would you describe the health of that part of the Gold Coast on a holistic point of view? From the emotional to the physical.
Yeah. Look, Northern Gold Coast, I feel like a mother to the Northern Gold Coast patients because I started a practice there about 6 years ago when it was still in the baby phase. I've seen it boom. I've seen the explosion in population. It's a much younger community to the one I treat in Broadbeach where I have more retirees. Young families, you know, both partners working, young children. Children have behavior issues. They don't have support. They've just moved from interstate or overseas. A lot of migrant population. So it's almost like they come to you for, you know, that support. And because in my room they feel heard, they feel listened to, you know, I become a social worker, a mother, a friend, and all of that. And that's what that community needs. It needs that holistic approach of education, of that socioeconomic insight into their health and what the solutions may be. You know, I often say to families, you know, to children, you know, should I come to your school and talk to your whole class about this, that what you should be eating? No lollies and more, you know, fruit and veg. So I think that's the solution for that corridor. We need to be thinking about nurturing these young families in a supportive way. And to me, having brought up in a university campus, my dad's been a professor, education is the key. That's what I do as 90% of my job is educate, motivate, give hope to people. And once you turn that key, you know, most people have the intelligence and the path to achieve what they want to achieve.
So at that policy level, Sonu, what do you think needs to happen, whether that's with a state or a federal approach?
Look, I think we need to look at it as how does a patient end up in the hospital with difficult diabetes or a stroke? And what do they need to be discharged quickly and with support at home? So you've got to have a very overview of this. And I've always said this multiple times. I think our health system suffers because of the state-federal divide. You know, there's Medicare funding, which is primary care, and then there's federal funding, which is state. And there's no communication between the two. And that costs the patient, it costs the economy, it costs the taxpayers, you know. For me, it doesn't matter who's taking my tax. Tax is tax, yeah? And it just costs more. We just got to make sure it's one system and one unified system. And I think then we'll waste less money in this kind of artificial bureaucratic game.
Waste less money, but gain better health.
Completely, completely. And I think to take it a step further, if health and education can be integrated, that would be my dream. I often say to young people, I said that to an 18-year-old yesterday who came to me and melted my heart because he said, Dr. Sonu, I'm ready to change. I've got ADHD. I make my mum's life very hard and I feel very upset about that and I want to fix it and I'm ready to fix it. And, you know, and you just think, oh, my God, I'll do anything to help you, you know. And I said to him, you know when the human brain releases serotonin? It's when you do selfless acts of kindness. Why don't we go teach that to the students? That actually that's what releases serotonin. So you could release that from your brain instead of taking an antidepressant because an antidepressant releases serotonin. So I think we have to go back and educate children about all of these things.
Sonu Haikerwal, Dr. Sonu Haikerwal, it's always a delight to talk to you, but I really appreciate you telling us about this amazing journey you've been on for the last year. Thank you.
It's only just started and I can't wait to roll. Thank you.